Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
What's the one thing all great teams have in common?
Great coaching.
Try to suck up to me, Andrew.
Hey, Goldberg! I bet if that dog was a cheeseburger, you'd stop it.
No, I agree. I would not be an acid physically. I have more of a podcast body.
Quack, 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 quack.
It's the Quack Attack Podcast.
Hey, everybody. I forgot about the team, and the team is all I have. I'm Mike. That's Tommy. That's Kevin. Just kidding. They both bailed. So they are not here. Welcome to the Quack Attack Podcast, the Finn and My Dex Podcast. I don't know what their excuses are, to be honest. And I didn't want to take the week off because I was excited to talk about the Mighty Ducks. So we're bringing on one of my favorite sort of formats that came out of our last Mighty Ducks trivia contest. It is Quack Court. We did this on a live pod too. Basically, we bring in two contestants. They debate a Mighty Ducks topic. It used to be Tommy, Kevin, and I determining the winner, but we're going to leave it up to the Quackalites here. So we're going to bring in our contestants. They're going to play for probably a t-shirt from our shop, some sort of item from our shop. So we'll say in the blue corner, Jeremiah is here. Hey, Jeremiah.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
It's going well. It's going well. You're from Ypsilanti, Michigan, correct? Still there?
Yep. Yep.
How is, how's life? What have you been up to since we last saw you?
Life is good. Just enjoying the trivia championship, telling as many folks as I can about that. I think at the beginning of the trivia, I was working for an auto supplier. I'm actually working for the parent company now. So moving up, life is good.
Nice. Nice. Yes. Trivia champion. But the thing that caught my eye when Jeremiah entered this sort of one-off contest is he's 1-1 in Quack debates. So we got to break that tie. One way or the other.
I take that personally. I know that was after the championship was decided, but in the words of Julie the Cat, I hate ties. They're like kissing your brother. So we gotta work through that.
All right. So in the red corner, we have noted sandwich enthusiast Jared here. Jared, thanks for being here.
How's it going?
Have you debated before? Have you been in one of our debates?
I have not. Debating is not a natural strong suit for me, so this isn't going to go well.
We'll see. But any tips for the sandwich newbies out there? Any tips to make their sandwiches better? I always like to go to you for some good sandwich talk.
One big thing I like to do is, depending on your bread choice, you got to make sure you have enough moisture in your condiments with your bread. That's you got to take care of that.
Mm. That's a great point. Like, you don't want to be too dry, but then you don't want the bread to be too soggy either.
Yeah. So got to get the right amount. I like to start on the bottom layer with mayonnaise on that one. Depending on the type of sandwich, maybe do more mayonnaise or some Italian dressing on the top piece of bread.
Mm. I like it. What's your go-to sandwich this year? What's your like top contender for sandwich of the year?
So, I work over in St. Louis, and there's this little Italian deli right by me called Joya's. Shout out to Joya's Deli. Mm. They're known for their hot salami there, and I get their hot salami sandwich probably at least once a month there. I've probably clogged a few arteries with it, but it's really amazing, and I can't say no.
There you go. Duck call to them. What was their name again? I totally forgot it.
Even though you just Joya's.
Went. Joya's. Duck call to Joya's. We'll give them a little duck call because my kid is sleeping. Anyway, let's move on here. They are here to debate. So a recap of the rules. So we have a debate topic here where they do not know which side they're going to be debating until we reveal it. We're going to randomly generate that here. So a recap of the rules. So one person is going to be for the topic. One person is going to be against the topic. There'll be a 60-second opening statement for each person. And then one person will ask two questions to the other person, where that person has to defend their argument. And then it will obviously reverse. The other person who just defended their argument will go ahead and ask questions to the other person. And then we'll have another 60-second closing statement. Any questions, any clarification needed out of either of you?
Good.
Perfect. All right. So our topic is, the Ducks did the right thing and allowed Gordon to coach them again after he missed the beginning of the Germany game. So D2, Gordon Bombay misses the beginning of the Germany game to go find himself. He comes out, does the duck call, runs down to the bench, gives, I was watching this today, not a very inspiring speech, like one of his poorest speeches from the trilogy, but they pop back on him. But again, the Ducks did the right thing in allowing him to coach again. So one of you will be for, one of you will be against. Let's randomly number generate. And this person, Jared, you are for this. You agree the Ducks did the right thing. Jeremiah, you are against it. Jeremiah, as trivia champion, I'll give you the option. Do you want to go first or second here?
I'll go second.
All right. So, Jared, are you ready to give your opening statement here?
I believe so.
All right. Whenever you're ready, take it away.
All right. So the Ducks are in the middle of the third period. They're tied 2-2. They're tired. We know they're tired. Coach McKay was trying to get fresh legs out there. By the halfway through this period, their legs are shot. They've used up all their duck tricks. All of a sudden, Coach Bombay comes in. Minnesota Miracle Man. What are they going to do? They have nothing left in them. They got to use Coach Bombay. They got to rely on him. And he, what does he do? He pulls out the magic trick. Gives them the flying V. Gives them the motivation they need. When he walks into the bench, everyone looks pissed except Connie Monroe. She, for some reason, looks happy to see him, but everyone's pissed. So that may not be his most inspiring speech, but it worked. It works, and it works. The other thing is he got them that far at that point. So even though he ditched him at the beginning of that game, they believed him and wanted to show him grace and blinked his apology and let him take him to the next level.
There you go. Good, good timing, too. You had 4 seconds left. All right, Jeremiah, your opening statement.
Well, I'm here to submit the argument that they had no reason to accept Gordon Bombay's apology and welcome him back. Moreover, the deciding factors in this game were not actually due to Gordon Bombay. Goldberg has an especially standout game, only letting in 2 goals. And it's Jesse who appears to call for the flying V at the end. He seems to be doubting himself, and then he finally calls for it. And that is the deciding factor that causes them to win. Going back to their reasons to disbelieve his argument, last time he saw them, he was running them ragged, ruthlessly after a big loss. The team has come through to not only organize a workout, but also learn about pride. They found an interim coach. The Ducks are truly flying together, and I believe they would rather go out by themselves as one unit than try to welcome back someone who, as far as they know, is just Captain Blood.
Wow. Wow. Strong starts. Both. That was exactly a minute, too. So good job keeping within the time period. All right, Jeremiah, you went second, so you're going to start this round. What is your first question here for Jared?
My first question to Jared here is, why do you think they should believe in Bombay? Why do you believe that speech worked and merited their decision to bring him back?
Well, I have a good response to that. Good response. As we now know, an official quack canon, after learning Maria had a much bigger role in all of this than we originally knew. And I think the players had an idea of what was happening with Maria after the fact of the initial ice cream incident, that they knew that she was manipulating him and playing him, especially once you could see Stanson and Maria in the stands at that game. knowing that she had been around Bombay, manipulating his time and making him purposely late to things like that game in particular, which we now know is in the storyline, just not in the documentary.
All right, Jeremiah. So
there's
sorry, were you going to expand on that, Jared? I'll allow it if you wanted to expand.
I was just going to say, so that played into them believing his apology, that there was other factors into his tardiness than just him.
Mm. All right, Jeremiah, your second question here.
I'm going to follow up with that Fulton clearly expresses his concern that they should hear Bombay out or he's going to dump them the minute this is all over. And as you noted, Portman and Julie are very skeptical, and they have good reason not to trust him as well. How do you explain their concerns, and do you think they needed that push? Aren't those concerns valid concerns?
They are valid concerns, and I think a lot of players did have those concerns, and you could see it on everyone's face when Bombay showed up. Everyone looked pissed. The players on ice wanted to keep playing, but it's once he got down there and called everyone in. If you notice, the person who led the charge of the players on ice was Conway, the captain, the one who's going to stand by Bombay no matter what. We know that. I acknowledge that. But he also knows Bombay the deepest. He knows Bombay's real heart. And when he came, the rest of the players followed. We all know Fulton is a solid A. He's maybe a co-captain, but he also will follow Charlie. So he followed Charlie's suit, and he respected Charlie enough to give Bombay the benefit of the doubt to go hear him out. And once they hear him out, they believe his apology and think that he's real, that he found himself, that he's not going to give himself over to the dark side anymore.
There you go. Good job, both sides. Good questions, good answers. We'll switch it up now. Jared, your first question for Jeremiah.
My first question is in regards to your comment about how Bombay was running them ragged after the Iceland game. So you made note that they were tired, they'd been run ragged, and they had bonded together to fly together on ice. How do you explain them struggling to get ahead of a Germany team that wasn't a favorite and tie game late in the third period?
I would say that, as Bob Miller notes, that they Germany's really throwing their weight around, and that's something that they've encountered difficulty with Iceland as well. But unlike with Iceland, they were able to keep the game very close. And I think they did need that push that you had mentioned, but I would argue that push came from Jesse going back to his roots, bringing in the flying V, and that happened independently of Bombay. So I do believe that they could have pulled it together themselves regardless.
And my second question is also a follow-up to that question. What evidence do you have that Jesse's the one who called the play? Because in the history of all of the Ducks, when their play happens on the ice, it's orchestrated by Bombay, including the original flying V. Bombay calls for it. So we know it's a written design play. He had everyone at the bench to prepare for how they're going to go attack Germany. So what evidence is there that Jesse is the one who called the play instead of Bombay?
In the documentary, we don't know how much time has elapsed between that meeting. Of course, that is the next thing we see. We see Jesse's eyes looking around nervously. We don't know if it's looking for confirmation or just trying to think of what to do to bring his team back, which is, of course, how I would choose to interpret it. We don't see Bombay give any sort of direction on this play. And as you said, since they've used this play before, I think that's some heads up thinking on Jesse's part to pull a trick out of the bag and do that again, knowing that the people behind him on the ice know what to do and bring that together and execute it for the win.
Nice. Those were some hard questions. I didn't know where you're going to go with it, Jeremiah, but I thought you did very well. Let's move on. To the closing statements, we'll go back to Jared. Jared, your closing statement here. You have 60 seconds whenever you're ready.
And closing arguments for Bombay getting to coach and the team supporting him, I'm going to go back to something I mentioned earlier, the fact that he had gotten them this far. Often in life, it's not fair to only give somebody one mistake and then not allow them another opportunity. And I believe they showed goodwill towards him for another opportunity, just like Bombay showed them goodwill whenever they had shenanigans like busting through the wall with the Zamboni. He gave them chances. He gave them a chance as well. He got them that far. They respected him, and I think they knew that they needed him. They had time to pull the flying V if they wanted to before the end of the third quarter, and they didn't have the ability to design who's going to pass the puck to who on their way up the ice. It wasn't until after Bombay showed up that they were able to design that.
There you go. Jeremiah, to finish it off here, finish off the debate, your closing argument.
At the end, Bombay goes through this massive journey, having discussions with both McKay and Jan that they are not privy to. I truly believe that their skepticism is founded, and I think we need to give more credit to Goldberg and Jesse for their efforts in making this win happen. Who's to say whether Bombay was that deciding difference? I choose to believe that he wasn't. But the matter of fact is that the people that most directly contributed to this win were not Bombay. And we've seen the team come together. They've learned about pride from the schoolyard puck. And they have very founded skepticism for not believing Bombay. He also makes the speech a lot about himself. He's very contrite. But he says this is all he has. And he needs one more shot. And I think that was still a little self-centered. And they should not have accepted him back. They could have won anyway.
Well done. Well done. This was a good good round, a good topic. You know, I went into it not – sometimes you, I have a feeling you like, no, like one side's going to be harder than the other. But well done. Jared, I liked pulling the cannon of Maria leaving him out to dry. I did not see that coming. That was well done. Jeremiah, the whole idea about Jesse and calling the flying V on his own. And I liked your last point about Bombay being self-centered, even when he was giving the speech to the guys. That was well done. But I do not want to cloud the Quackalites too much here. We'll have a poll in the show notes. You can vote on it. And as I said, we'll give the winner a prize here. But let's do a little post-game show. Jared, what was like the biggest, the biggest hurdle for you? In this debate here.
Yeah, so the biggest hurdle is the fact that, as Jeremiah pointed out, Bombay's kind of a butt, you know, at this point in the movie. You know, he's hung him out to dry. You don't show up to a game. Like, that's, as a head coach, that's kind of a deal breaker, you know, honestly. You know, that's a hard thing to overcome. Like, a coach not showing up to game time and, like, hanging him out to dry, coming right after what he did to them with the whole Captain Blood stuff, that's pretty hard to overcome, to argue that they should like forgive him. Cause you're also thinking about teenagers, you know, teenagers are can be irrational and emotional. Like, you know, a lot of, you know, there's very easy arguments to make that he had no business coaching. There's also arguments to be made that the legality of the rules of the Junior Goodwill Games shouldn't allow him to have coached in that game as well. Going into it, if I knew going into it, if I was either side, there has challenges, but yeah, that was the biggest hurdle I saw in being four.
Which side did you want? If you like could have chosen, would you have chosen the other side where you would argue against the Ducks accepting Bombay again, or would you keep this side?
I really wanted four because I wanted to throw in the bit we know about Maria being more involved. Nice. I thought that would be a fun thing to throw in. But had I been against, I was going to lean heavily on McKay and trying to give her props and saying they should give her, let her finish what she started.
Yeah, another topic I do have in my back pocket about whether the Mighty Ducks could have won the Junior Goodwill Games if McKay was the coach the whole time. But that's for another day. Jeremiah, were you hoping for or against one way or another here?
I was also kind of hoping for four. I was going to hammer pretty hard on just the fact that they taught McKay how to manage a game was not going to be sufficient to win said game. But I feel like I had more arguments against but they were all weaker arguments. So I was kind of open to both. I didn't consider the legality, which is, I think, a good point Jared brought in, and I could have hit a little harder on the fact that he didn't show up at all. I do enjoy the challenge of taking the weaker side, especially after losing the Mendoza argument. I don't know. I was happy with how it turned out.
Nice, nice. Yeah, what was the biggest curveball for you? Did Jared throw anything at you that you were not expecting?
I'm glad that he pressured me into giving some more evidence about Jesse calling it. I kind of took that tactic in trying to just go both questions and chisel away at one point, and he did the same, and I think that was a smart move. I wasn't expecting to have to elaborate twice on that point, so that was good.
Yeah, no, I was I had not even considered the whole did Bombay call the flying V move even after, you know, he came back. So that was a good point though about, you know, Jesse looking around and making sure things were good. So yeah, thequacktech.com or in the show notes. I'll put the link directly in the show notes. So if you're listening in your iPad or your iPhone or your Android, your whatever podcast app you're in, there should be a link there directly to this poll. You guys vote for the winner, determine who will win it here. We'll just leave it short and sweet this week. So thank you to Jared. Thank you to Jeremiah. This was a sort of last minute thing. So this happened all, within a day. So we appreciate them. Duck call to both of them. I won't do it because, again, my daughter is sleeping right now. I might add it in post if I'm feeling frisky. But thank you, guys. We appreciate you. For us, thequacktech.com. Go there. Contact us at QuackTechPod on Twitter, facebook.com/QuackTechPod. Go to iTunes. Give us 5 stars. Tell us your thoughts. Tell us your argument for, whether the Ducks should have accepted Gordon coming back and coaching in that Germany game. And remember, Ducks fly together. Ain't no turning back. Got to be the man in the heart of Quack Attack. The Quack Attack is back, Jack. Ooh, yeah.
As a kid growing up, every time I saw Germany on screen, they always made me think of the Juicy Fruit packaging. Their colors, that shade of yellow with the black and red.
Yeah. I could see that for sure.
I've never been able to get that out of my head every time I watch them.